By outward endeavor your country make fit, so later a house you may build upon it. Speak not without cause to a neighbor's demise, nay, nor with your lips a deception devise. That was Proverbs chapter 24, verses 27 and 28. Little children, that's our daily scripture for today from chapter 24 of the Ward Green version of Proverbs from ...2004. I just omitted to shut off the air conditioning here before we began, but we did have this article. I'm too excited because I found a number of maybe 18 different new articles yesterday about radiocarbon, and one of them was just magnificent and the most unbelievable proof that you could ever have, which is it's too good to be believable, even, you know. But it's just because the radiocarbon dates are not accurate, but I'll show you that why it's so good hopefully when we get to it today. But tomorrow we're going to see in our study that there's a borderline case where May 12th is first visibility at an Arcus Visionis of 10.62 or below for the year 1091 BCE. So that's from Thebes, okay? And when I did when I looked at it, looking ahead till tomorrow, but it's supposed to be Thoth 4 or 5. But since it's Thoth 4 or 5, this borderline case just ends up being, in other words, it was read on the monument, or wherever the inscription was found, it was read as Thoth 4 or 5. It's not clear which it is. So if it's Thoth 4, we might have the one case, it might still be Lunar Day 15, because Gauchy says last visibility was the 11th, and it might be the 12th. Here's the 12th here, looking from Thebes using SkyChart Carte du Ciel, version 4.0. The moon is only about 7 degrees above the horizon, but there's an arc, an azimuth of 13 or 14 degrees. So that's the horizontal distance in degrees. There's 5 degrees for each division horizontally and vertically here. So about 7 degrees of height and 13 degrees of azimuth. And according to Schaefer, so this is really for tomorrow, but I needed to check it. But according to Schaefer, because my current knowledge, I think, is better than what I had when I wrote the article. Just, I've had more time to think about it too. But here, see, for an Arcus, according to Schaefer, in the table provided in Ancient Egyptian Chronology from 2006, the article by Krauss on page 397, he gives this table by Schaefer. June, well, let's say May or June would be similar, 9 degrees for an azimuth of 15 degrees. So 15 degrees, 9 degrees, plus or minus. So the lowest, yeah, so it's possible, but that's the altitude, how high it should be. So the lowest it could be is 8.2. So 8.2, based on this, but this is like a standard deviation. So we could go below, we could go down to 7 degrees probably and still have it be sometimes visible, occasionally. Schock gives it the value as, it's Schock, S-C-H-O-C-H. The scholar who gave just one value for all months of the year, he gave 8 degrees for the altitude with an azimuth of 15 degrees. So, yeah, so if we can have, if it could be as low as 6 or 7 degrees, in a rare case, this could be visible. But that's, and also the accuracy of the Carte du Ciel program is not necessarily spot on here, so that this fits, even though it looks like only about 7 degrees of altitude, maybe it's, for example, when I looked from Thebes, it looked like only 6 degrees of altitude. I mean, from Memphis, excuse me, this is Thebes. When I checked from Memphis, it was only 6 degrees above the horizon, the moon, so, or above the sun at dawn. So this, you know, there's some variability geographically as well. So if you went north of Memphis, well, there's nowhere really north of Memphis to go in Egypt. But you can see that this is a borderline case. But if we don't know whether it's Thoth 4 or 5, then it's really a moot point. It doesn't cause any problems at all. It could still be Lunar Day 15 or something very close to it. If it's before Lunar Day 15, like Lunar Day 14, that's still a waxing moon, which is the best. But if it's the 16th instead of the 15th, Lunar Day 16 is still the day of the full moon festival. So, and we don't, and this inscription that we're talking about, something happened at this time. It was Thoth 1 or 2. This is in paragraph 9-11. This is for tomorrow or even the next day. But Thoth 4 or 5 was attested. In other words, somebody made a writing, an official writing, or something was done in writing on that day, either Thoth 4 or 5. And Thoth 5 is Lunar Day 15 using our calculator. There's Thoth 5 in 1091 BCE. It's Lunar Day 15 using LIAP on the Will of Jehovah site. So it is, it's right, but that's because we found Lunar Day 1 was May 13th, or last visibility on the 12th, whereas Gauchy finds last visibility on the 11th for this case. There it is, last visibility on May 11th in the year, minus 1090, which is the same as 1091 BCE. It's the scientific notation, minus 1090. Okay, let's do our study here for today. So for today, we've seen from yesterday, of course, about Simon had his year 17 attested twice. It's known fairly certainly then that he had at least 16 years, it appears. And while he was still reigning, his high priest became co-ruler, and he was the person we call Susan II. And that's why, so the 9 years that was used in paragraph 9-7 here to arrive at 1024 for year 1 of Simon, that was the 9 years of Simon before Susen became co-ruler in 1015. That's how we arrived at explaining, that's how we've been able to understand all of Manetho, because of understanding that fact. And co-rulership, we've been finding, is much more common than scholars have been willing to admit. But the dynasty that we're speaking about here is Dynasty 21 in Egypt. And Susen II here, he's number 7 on the list. Susen I is number 2. But Susen II with 35 years here, and the total being 130 for this dynasty, was partly because Susen I was only allocated 41 years here, whereas according to Africanus, on the left-hand column, Susen I had 46. So when we add those 5 years on to the version of Eusebius, we get, including 46 years for Susen I, 135 years total for Dynasty 21. And that's what we're talking about today. But first of all, in paragraph, in the article Trojan War, chapter 9, paragraph 8, if we read here, it says, "What we offer serves to show how the BG chronology may be independently established, and was, before any work was done, comparing it to Egyptian radiocarbon results. So before we did any work with radiocarbon, the whole chronology was established. And you know why that's so important? And I thought about this today, but there's sort of three options when you're doing, anything. When you're doing anything, really, you either investigate and establish the truth for yourself. That's option number one. Or option number two is you listen to what other people say and just believe what they're telling you. That's option number two. But option number three is you go with a reliable source. In this case, there's only one reliable source of information in the entire world that we know about, and that is God's Word, the Bible, the Holy Scriptures that we call the Bible, right? That has 66 books, 39 in the Old Testament and 27 in the New Testament. And we use that book because it's been proven. So if we don't believe the Bible, then we have to investigate everything. We have no guidance. We won't have a chronology to start with. So we're going to be swayed by every wind of teaching. Whereas if we use the Bible, first of all, we can investigate the Bible and prove to ourselves how reliable it is. Once we've established, okay, so let's assume, this is what I've done. I've established to myself that the Bible is reliable, okay? I've convinced myself it is because I've investigated all the different prophecies and everything, and to me, it's more likely that it's reliable than that it isn't reliable. I would say it's far more likely, in my opinion, that the Bible is reliable and accurate than that it isn't. It's just that sometimes we don't always understand what the Bible is saying. We have to be careful, but our chronology was discovered or uncovered, developed, you know, was brought about as the genealogy based on the chronological information, everything in the Bible that relates to chronology. It was all used to establish our chronologies, and because of my confidence in the reliability of the Bible, I know from much experience it just doesn't pay to change the chronology. Well, also, if we change anything in the chronology, it changes everything else, and then nothing works. So once we've established the chronology, which we did first, when we did, even the Crucible article established the chronology. But in this article, Trojan War, we've established the chronology even better. When you've got the chronology so well established, you're not willing to change the chronology for radiocarbon. Okay, you're just not willing to do it because it's not the right thing to do. Because radiocarbon is unpredictable, okay? We'll see something interesting today, though, with radiocarbon. Hopefully, I want to get to it right now. I'm so excited, but I can't. I want to read this first because we're setting out to study this. Before any work was done with the radiocarbon, we got the chronology. And from our chronology, which incorporated the work of Mr. Krauss, Amenemope Year 1, 1039, that's our chronology, not Mr. Krauss, but in his chronology also, it's 76 years below Smendes Year 1 from the lunar chronology. Lunar calendar, that the moon is a regular thing that moves, right? Genesis 1:14, that we use the heavenly bodies to establish times and seasons as chronologies, that applies also. So we also, in that respect of the relative dating of 76 years below Smendes, we agree with Krauss. But our Year 1, 1039 for Amenemope, it differs from his. We don't particularly mind. Whatever date he has, he can have whatever he date, whatever he wants for his date. Now, Manetho's Dynasty 21 has 135 years in total, with every reign. We just showed that, the 135 years for Dynasty 21. Every reign maximally allowed, so Susen I was given 46, which was the maximum from Africanus. So the maximum, according to the two versions, was allocated to each king to achieve the total of 135. And thus, Dynasty 21, we didn't know whether it should be 135, but when we do that, then it ends, well, it begins in 1115 BCE, Smendes year 1, but it ends in 1115 minus 135 is 980. I guess I've done it so many times, I don't think we need to do it, but I know somebody's going to want to see me do it, so minus 135. 1115 minus 135, 980, there it is. So it does end in 980, which is exactly 21 years before 959. And we said 959 is year one of Osorkon. Why did I put away the calculator? Okay, 980 minus 21, which is the reign of Shoshank, according to the, not the Bible, but according to Manetho. 980 minus 21 is 959, and Shoshank, or Sesonkosis, as he's called in Eusebius, is allocated 21 years in both versions of Manetho that are shown here. This is in the Fotheringham book, page 124. So 959 is the end of those 21 years. That's also year one of Osorkon, and now we see the reason for the 21 years of Shoshank, even though he actually reigns 34 years from the beginning of his co-rulership, you see. That's it for today's study in the Trojan War article, and it's been quite a journey, I must say. Even to do that much today was, I didn't want to do that because I didn't even want to do the study today in those paragraphs, because I'm so excited by and I'm utterly thrilled by what I've been finding. Let's close this program so that we don't have as much overhead of programs running. And, well, we could close this one too, but let's just look at this instead of, let's not worry about that. Let's look at this. The two sigma limits on the radiocarbon from level Q7A. Okay. This is from Megiddo. This is exciting stuff. If I'm absolutely, I don't know what the word is. I'm just beside myself, I guess, is the right way of putting it. Right? I'm beside myself. I want to look up. Kleeman. Let's see, Kleeman wrote this article, but there's another. Let's see, I'm trying to find out the report. 575K. This might be it. No. Oh, look at that. That's another one. That's a really interesting article by Finkelstein. Talks about the city of Tirza in the north, and he proves it even in that article that he writes, it's consistent with our chronology again. Finkelstein's the only one who had the courage to argue something that was different from the status quo. And even though his chronology, he's continued to argue that it should be lower. And lower than what we have, it's still, because of what he has done, we can use his work. It actually helps confirm our chronology, and it's just remarkable. His is the only one that really does that, and I realized that yesterday. Speakerman, a great, yeah, there's another, what's this? I want a ping, I think. It's a ping, or was it a PDF? Oh, there's so many articles that I got yesterday. I'm just tons of them. I know I got this picture. Maybe that was... Oh, that was yesterday. Yeah, right. Fentalken, maybe. Was it? No. Fentalken wrote an article called Aegean Pottery. And I found that was important, too. I saved that one. Let me just see now. Where is it? It's... somewhere yesterday. It was... Oh, yeah. I'll just go through yesterday's. What time is it? We're doing okay for time here? Well, let me pop that. I can't pop it up yet. Let me just see what we have here. I'm looking for... There's 10 a.m. Okay, Mazar... Mazar wrote an article on Greek pottery in which he talks about Coldstream, who's a pottery expert. All of this stuff is of relevance if it's in the Iron Age to the time of... It's relevant, that is, to the time of Shoshank or Shashak. So, and this is the only time when the Bible chronology coincided is what people argue was in the time of Shashak. But we know it was actually also coincident. There was an important alignment in the time of Osorkon, and also because he was Zero, the Ethiopian who was killed in year 14 of Asa in our chronology, but also we have an alignment in the time of Judges with Gideon and Pharaoh Merneptah. We've got a lot of alignments, and we've got the 300 years of Jephthah, but the Egyptian chronology aligning is rare, and some people think it's only Shishak that achieves that alignment between the two, or that offers that. There's a look at Sharon, chapter 6 of Levi 2005. Look at this. Maybe we've already looked at this before. The boundary, Iron 1 to 2. But this is from... Where is this from? Yeah, I didn't write down. Right, Megiddo. Oh, yeah, well, there are different cities here. Yeah, there's K6 at Megiddo and so on. The end of... Now, K6 is an area, not a layer number. And the layer, the stratum is 7A for that one. But we're looking for Megiddo 6A. There, you see. Now, 6A is the end of layer 6, the top layer, which came last, since the layers build up. And that is dated just about... That layer 6 date is just... It ends, or it comes about prior to 1000 BC. That's the line, the vertical line is 1000 here, going up. So, so we look at this date from the city of Kassil, which is fascinating because if you look up Kassil 10, it's supposed to be... Well, I did look it up. Let me just check. Oh, yeah, I've got this other way of doing it using preview. Mazar is the one that has the table, but it was from Levi, the table 2-2, this one. Yeah. Mazar's work in this table here, Tel Kassil, we see that it's layer 10 is from Iron 1B using this table. Layer 10 of Kassil, Tel Kassil. So because that's Iron 1B, and then the radiocarbon shows there's a peak in 970, which is the time of Shoshak in our chronology. So Tel Kassil, in other words, the end of Iron 1B, the beginning of another era of pottery, Iron 2A. This looks like a very interesting result because it falls lower than these others. The reason why these others are falling before 1000 or 1000 BC is because, evidently because they're either old wood or they're just not, you know, they come down. Some of them have a little bit of a peak below in the 980 region or 970, which is what we're looking for Shishak. But you see, we're biased, always confirmation biased, towards Shashak 973, because we have the date 973. And we believe that date 973 And we have great reasons to believe it in our chronology. We have 100,000 reasons to believe it. We don't need the radiocarbon to tell us when Shishak was. What we do need to see is whether we can find out whether Shishak can explain any of this using 973. And you see some of these here. This is from Tel Mikne and from Tel Rehov. Right? You don't always get the same cities. Okay, have I got what I wanted? No, I was still looking for the other report. There's still another report here to get. From later at night. Where is it? Oh yeah, Finkelstein wrote another article called Shishak's Destruction. He wrote, or no, there's one that's called The Shoshank Campaign is included in the title there. 2006, The Iron 1 to 2A in the Highlands and Beyond. That was by Finkelstein, 2006. Aegean Pottery, right? So where did I get... Okay, there's one page that I saved from one of these, from this book, the official book about Megiddo excavations. That's the one I'm trying to find. Just because there was only one page available from that book. I was able to obtain the introduction for the book, and I could get Tofolo's work in the book, but I couldn't get... wasn't able to get the any more than one page. But on that one page, anyway, it told me that area Q is the area that we want at Megiddo, because that's the end of 6A at Megiddo, was it area Q. So, well, on this graph, which was from the radiocarbon dating in the Bible, The Bible and Radiocarbon Dating by Levy, 2005. This chart was from... it's figure 6.6, so it's chapter 6, page 83 of that book. And you see... well, it's even got so many different things here that are of interest. But they're not all exactly the perfect result, you know, by any means. Here's K6. You see, it's not area Q, it's area K. But even it has some traces after 1000 BC, which is called the 10th century BC. Okay, so let's close that. But in the book, I was able to find out that level Q7A is the last phase of this. And of course, he talks about it in this article too. This is Kleeman, who's the one who wrote the chapter in the official book, but, you know, of which I was only able to get page one, which was true of many of those chapters in that official report. And I think it was a fairly recent report. I've got the report. I've got the introduction for the report right here somewhere. Where is it? Yeah, that's it there, chapter from 2022. Yeah, it's a very recent work, so I tried to get it, but I couldn't get the full report. But then I found this article by Kleeman, who also wrote the chapter, the page one of which I was able to get. So I got this article by Kleeman called Crisis in Motion, The Final Days of Iron Age 1 at Megiddo. So this is exactly what I was looking for, exactly. It's so phenomenal. And look at what he says, 1040 to 1035. Okay, that's from Q7A. And by the way, in Q7A, when you look, this is the radiocarbon here for Q7A. Look at all, it's all around 973 here. All of it, almost all of these are right, dated right around 973. And these are from area Q, which is exactly what we want. And then the Q7A in that area, in another table that was shown here, there's a table here. It shows that the human remains were found in that layer. Also, and skeletal remains of animals and things. And there's a picture here. This is the destruction layer of Area Q. And it shows the total destruction, but we can't get it. The colors are inverted there. Maybe you can invert that on the on your own using this video and invert it. But if you stop it there. But the amazing thing here, this is better, easier on the eyes to look at this. But look at the 94% level confidence or result for that floor material on Q7A. It's 10:30 to 9:15. What's the midpoint of 10:30 BC and 9:15 BC? I mean, I did it already. It's 115 years different, and one half of 115 is 57 and a half, right? I mean, it's too scary to think about. Almost. Let's see. I mean, okay, 115. 10:30 minus 9:15 is 115. 10:30 minus 9:15, right? Okay. So then, 115 divided by 2 is 57.5, right? And add to that 9:30, so we get the midpoint. This will give us the midpoint. Half of the difference added to the lower, or sorry, it's 9:15 we want, not 9:30. 9:15 was the bottom date, the latest date, and we get 972.5. Now, the year 973 BCE begins with 973, and then it goes down 972.9, 972.8, 97, because the years count backwards in the BCE year. So 972.5 is in the year 973. So that's just too good to be true. That the midpoint of that measurement of radiocarbon, which is 972.5 years before present, it's too good to be true. It says, it proves categorically, even though radiocarbon can't prove anything because it's not accurate enough, it proves that 973 is the year that Shishak came and destroyed that. And that's the year of Shishak in our chronology. So that's the most exciting thing I've ever discovered to do with this time period of Shishak, by far. It's by far the most exciting thing. So, that's it for today's study. It's August 9th, 2024 of the Common Era. The time is 1935 hours Eastern Daylight Time. I'm Ward Green. I love you very much. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. In my behalf, this is Lib Dusty. This is Cassie. They're saying bye for now, and we've studied Trojan War today, paragraphs 9, 8, and 9, 9. We'll be coming to the last paragraph of this chapter is something quite interesting, I think. We'll find it's quite a long one, too, but it's even the most exciting part of this chapter. So bye for now.